Thanks so much for staying with Sharad and I on Consider This. Let's continue our conversation with Stephen Barrett, Chief of Social Policy at UNICEF Malaysia. We're talking about the Families on the Edge report. So this, as I understand it, is the first initial finding. This is part of a six-month survey. What is it that this survey is looking for to focus on for the next one? So the findings from this survey, what are you going to be focusing on for the next one in terms of how these households recover, specifically the challenges that, and addressing the challenges that you found in this report?
So, of course, with the end of the MCO, children have gone back to school, hopefully. So we want to explore how families have managed with that return to school process, how children managed with that return to school in terms of their psychosocial response to the leaving the MCO and going back into the classroom. We want to look at how, whether as the economy does pick up, whether these families, low-income families, are picking up jobs again and picking up employment. Other areas, nutrition, are we seeing long-lasting changes in dietary patterns, or is it a blip that will somewhat be corrected? So these are the sorts of things that we want to look over the next few months. As those COVID policy responses, such as the VPN, ended, how are families managing, now that they have ended?
Stephen, were these households a data blind spot? The living conditions, the lived realities of these households, were they a data blind spot for policymakers in Malaysia?
So I think everyone's been aware of the challenges of the communities living in the PPR flats for some time. But I think, being aware of it and having hard evidence and of those facts is a different thing. At the moment in Malaysia, as elsewhere, we have big aggregate pictures on, GDP figures and unemployment figures, but there's not very many cases where you can get high quality evidence of the impacts and experiences of a particular subset of the population, i.e. low-income families, and particularly women and children in those families. So I wouldn't go as far as saying it's a data blind spot. I would say that we are contributing to an ongoing debate and dialogue on policy responses to COVID, for different sections of the population. I think the point is that the Malaysian population, like any other population, is heterogeneous. You've got different people with different experiences, and you've got to understand those different experiences in order to craft relevant policy responses.
You mentioned several times that the BPN has ended as a policy.
Yeah.
Should it have ended as soon as it did?
I think, all governments had to put in place temporary measures, extreme measures. The refrain was do everything necessary and do what it takes to protect people, and that was what was done. I think the government, with the revision of the new national poverty line, I think there's active considerations going on, in order to think about what the sort of a soft landing might be provided for low-income families in the context of a new poverty line. I think it is urgent that policies are put in place that provide a bridge between the support the BPN provided, and where we need to go.
What kind of policies would you like to see?
So, the UN has made a proposal during the budget consultation process for a very, very simple proposal to implement a child benefit, a disability benefit, and an old age allowance for all eligible individuals in the B40. Mm-hmm. That proposal, when you combine those three elements together, would reach, I estimate, around 70% of households in the BPN would be providing with meaningful income support targeted at households with these demonstrable vulnerabilities, disability, old age, children that need care and food. And
what's missing is unemployment benefit.
Yes, it
is. Why isn't that in the mix in the suggestion?
It is. In fact, that's something that the UN is already working on, or planning to work on with the EIS, on extending unemployment insurance to the informal sector and to those in non-standard employment, which is a gap in the existing EIS framework. So it's absolutely necessary. It's quite hard to do. I think our proposal was there's something that can be done quite quickly. Fairly uncontentious. Older people with disabilities and children really do need support. We need to protect their welfare in the COVID context. And this can be done. We have the data on these households. We have information on children, people with disabilities can be made available, and these people can be targeted. So it's a readily available, off-the-shelf policy solution. And while we think about maybe longer-term options, and there are longer-term options, and you know, one option would be to extend some of those things to the broader set of the population. Many countries have in place universal or near-universal basic social pensions, basic child allowances. There are also other options, like child and family tax credits that can boost people's earnings when they're in employment, low-income people. Those are more complex solutions. They take time to design, and they also will struggle to reach households in the informal sector.
Right. You said Build Back Better. Mm. How radical should we be looking in terms of the conversations? There are many conversations out there in the world. What should we plug ourselves into?
I think we need to be radical. I mean, if we look, just for example, let's take malnutrition in Malaysia. You know, that has it's going in the wrong direction. Inequality is going in the wrong direction, and the COVID will exacerbate all of these issues. So I think in order to get even back to the old trajectory of change, which was going in the wrong direction, we need to be quite radical, and to reverse the trajectory and deliver on the ambitions of the Shared Prosperity Vision 2030, that does require a radical agenda. And the sorts of policies I just mentioned there could deliver on that. If we look at the higher income countries and the OECD in particular, you do see a direct link between investment in benefits for families and child relative poverty rates. There's a very strong association. And when you have lower rates of child poverty, there are a whole range of long-term benefits for a society for that. Right. I think you also need to be thinking about things like preschool. You know, if we want to, say, protect people's well-being and in the crisis, we also need to build more productive Malaysians, you know, and that means starting early, getting children into preschool. And we already know from another study that UNICEF has done that low-income families and low-income children are less likely to be in preschool. So we have to address that as well.
Stephen, thank you so much for joining us on the show. It's been such a eye-opening, lots of information.
Yeah, clearly we should have another hour or so
to delve
this.
Into this yes. report. Thank you so much for your time and your insights. That's all the time we have on this episode of Consider This. I'm Melissa Idris.
And I'm Sharad Kutan, signing off for the evening.
Thank you so much for watching, folks. Good night.
Thank you.